97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. A few minutes after 8, we appreciate you being here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here. Sue Thomas with your traffic this morning. It has been a pretty gorgeous day so far, man. I'm telling you what, we're living right in the center of the country right now. Unlike down in Florida, the 4 people now confirmed dead that I'm hearing in St. Lucie County. I'm sure there will probably be more for the people that insisted on staying behind. I saw an interview yesterday morning, I believe it might have been on CBS, with a guy on a sailboat. Looked like maybe a 25-foot sailboat. It wasn't a big one at all. And they said, "Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm staying right here." And they're like, "You know there's a 15-foot storm surge coming." This was in Tampa. And the guy said, "I've got nowhere else to go. I'm going to ride it out. I rode the last one out." Well, it wasn't almost a direct hit on him, so we have no idea. I think the mayor down there was telling anybody who stayed behind to write their phone number on their body somewhere so they could identify them, their name, carry their ID with them.
Mm-hmm. They said put any loved one's information on your body, basically, I guess, in a pocket so that if you die, we can contact one of your relatives. I understand people feel like there's nowhere to go, but I mean, that's just stupid. There's shelters, and this is the time when I feel like people would be willing to pick up a stranger to make sure that they could get to a shelter if they didn't even have transportation.
Yeah. 3 million people without power. I'm just looking at some of the daylight photos down there. It's pretty devastating. And what a shame. We'll talk a little bit more with Shannon Bream about that, because we talked to Jim Talent about this last hour, but you have to wonder what impact this has on voting in 25 days, right? They've got to get all the substructures up. You don't know if voting locations were damaged. And we have a major election just around the corner. So I don't know what impact that has. Apparently, you're un-American if you ask that question, according to Joe Biden. So we're going to talk to Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins a little later, and my friend Tommy Shaw is going to join us from Shaw Realty. He is holding an event in honor of his father. It is to raise money for finding a cure for Alzheimer's. And that's going on over this weekend, which should be a beautiful day for it. And I'll have all the details on that coming up before the end of the hour. First, though, our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We know better than the others because we give them, right, John? We give them the information, and then they write it the opposite, and it's really disgusting.
I think what President Trump is referring to there would be the fake news media constantly pulling up these stories and taking whoever says it at face value, apparently.
In fact, I had one source describe it to me this way, quote, "People are nervous. They know the polls are tight. And a lot of us are having these flashbacks to 2016, too.
That's CNN quoting Harris campaign officials who sense a 2016 kind of environment, except Donald Trump was not polling this good in 2016.
Now the claims are getting even more bizarre. Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, Biden was on a bit of a roll yesterday. In fact, he went on to say that anybody who disagreed with his point of view on this was very likely to be, let's see, how did he put it, Carl? Wait a minute.
It misleads people. It puts people in circumstances where they panic, where they really, really, really worry. They think we're not being taken care of. And it really is, it's going to sound, I use an old phrase, it's un-American. It really is.
Yeah, you're un-American. That's the word I was looking for.
In St. Louis County, one voter told us how long it took her to get through the ballot.
About 45 minutes. It was a long ballot, very long.
A urgent call on the part of the local media there to vote early because you don't know what you're going to encounter on Election Day. I've been saying this for weeks. Mm-hmm. The My voter guide is out there. It doesn't have every single issue on it. I just have to tell you that. Because it would have been too long. And it's impossible for me to understand every issue in every municipality. There are some city issues. There are, like, St. Louis County has some propositions on there. I'm sure some of the other outlying counties have some as well. So I don't know everything you're going to be voting on. But it is a Missouri-centered guide centered on the amendments. And the statewide office races, obviously the presidential race. I'm guessing you know who my pick is there, but it's all there. 971talk.com. You can get it. It's downloadable. You can print it off and take it with you to the polls. We got that sample ballot that I brought in the other day. 43 issues in St. Louis County.
Mm-hmm.
That was delivered to my mother. Carl tells me, as a city resident, what did you receive?
I got this pamphlet in the mail. It's a fold-in, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 QR codes. I can register to vote, which, of course, I got the day and a half before you couldn't register to vote anymore. You can sign up to be an election worker, absentee ballots, an actual look at the ballots, and a QR code to make sure you're registered to vote.
Do you think they'll send out the actual hard copy of a sample ballot in addition to that, or you think that is it?
No, I think that's it.
That's just sad.
I could be wrong.
I hope we're wrong.
But here's the thing. What the URL code, as you pointed out earlier, if my mother, who is in her late 80s, she'd kill me if I said her exact age. If my mother received that in the mail, she'd throw it away. Mm-hmm. She would have no idea that all she had to do was point her phone camera at that thing and it would bring the information right up on her phone.
I know how to use a QR code and I might throw it away because I might just look at it as, I don't need this, because I'm generally looking for the hard copy of the ballot. I wouldn't be expecting that.
Yeah, and you're not expecting it to be 45 items either.
Right. Yeah. You know what I wish that frustrates me about these elections are the judges, because I want to make an informed decision about everybody, including the judges. And it is kind of difficult. And someone, please, and maybe you know this, Mark, or somebody listening, please reach out to me if you know a really easy way to get information on these judges.
There is none.
That is frustrating for me, because
there is none.
There's always so many to vote for, and I don't just want to willy-nilly,
Everybody asks me this question every time I do this, and here's the problem with it. The Missouri bar rates these judges. In my lifetime of covering this as both a reporter and as a host here at this radio station, I think they have recommended against somebody being reelected to the position one time. Like, all they do is any lawyer that appears before a certain judge can submit a rating for that judge. It's very rare that those are negative, because it's a good old boy society and they all want to get along, mm-hmm. and they don't want to piss the judge off. Now, it's anonymous, the rating system, but it is very rare for you to find a situation where the bar list would recommend against any of these judges being renewed. About the best thing you can do, if the politics of it matters to you, is to go back and figure out which governor appointed which judge. And in some cases, that may be a way to tell you whether or not you're going to agree with them on politics, but not always.
I was going to say, no offense to Mike Parson, but I don't know if I really trust a judge that he would.
There's just no way to know. And that's frustrating.
That's annoying, yes.
For a lot of people, because it's a big chunk of what you're going to have to vote on is whether or not to you know, put these people back in office.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them get reelected for that reason, because there's no good resource. And most of us aren't in court in front of them. Thank goodness. Only the criminals, right? Okay, a quick break here. We do have Shannon Bream coming up. I'm going to get back to her and her interview with Tim Walz last weekend, where she played the proper role of a moderator. And I don't think the Democrats were any too happy about it. We'll be back.
You signed a bill that makes it legal through all 9 months. Is that a position you think Democrats should advocate for nationally?
Look, the Vice President and I have been clear the restoration of Roe versus Wade is what we're asking
but
for.
But that this law goes far beyond Roe v. Wade.
To make her own choice. The law is very clear. It does not change that. That has been debunked on every occasion.
Let's agree. What you signed is there's not a single limit through 9 months of pregnancy. Roe had a trimester framework that did have limits through the pregnancy. The Minnesota law does not have that.
This...
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon Bream, you are my hero. Did you hear that music playing in the background?
Thank you for having me. Always great to be with you.
That was awesome. Thank you for taking the news anchors at CBS to school for how you're supposed to moderate when you have somebody telling half-truths during a debate or an interview. My goodness, you called Tim Walz out on this stuff.
Well, the thing is, I think that he... is not hesitant about what he signed in Minnesota. So I think it's only fair that people understand what it is and whether he would advocate for something on the national level. I think that that's, you know, he's got a record as a governor, so it's a good place to mine for information about what he would do as vice president or president. So when people say they want to recodify Roe, okay, you can talk about doing that, and there are questions about Democrats doing that at the national level. But let's talk about exactly what Roe did versus what the Minnesota law did. So I think if he's happy about the law he signed, he's well aware of what was in it. And why not just own that as your position?
Did he agree to that interview last minute? Because he really wasn't doing much up until recently. And same with Kamala Harris prior to her little media blitz.
You know, it came together finally on Saturday. And we're always trying to book our show the minute we're off on Sunday for the next for the next week. So we did have a lot of guests and things already locked in and lined up. It was a great week for us. And then we started having this conversation, would the governor come on? And so Saturday we finally got the thumbs up. And so the team is amazing, and we got it together and got ready for that. But, yeah, we didn't have a ton of advance warning that they were actually going to be willing to come.
You know, the other bite I almost played there instead of the one on the abortion was the one on Amber Thurman, where you had to correct him again because he brought that up during the debate. And people who followed the facts on that realized, I mean, she took that abortion pill and had complications, and there are warnings right on the label about it.
Yeah, and to be clear, I mean, her family obviously is very unhappy about the law in Georgia. Because of the time limits, she did have to go out of state where she got the abortion pill that we're told, you know, is safe for women to use alone. Even those who are okay with use of the pill do note, as you do, that there are warning labels that, you know, it used to be that you had to do this with follow-up visits with the doctor to make sure that you were okay. I mean, what seems like it happened with Amber is that there were still byproducts of her pregnancy that were left, and that can cause an infection. Now, what her, you know, family attorney is saying is they are, you know, planning a lawsuit against the hospital because there's nothing under the Georgia law that would prevent her from being treated. There was no fetal heartbeat. She was clearly in distress, and yet hours and hours and hours went by before they actually treated her in a way that could have saved her life. So, you know, the family obviously objects to the Georgia law, but admits it was the pill that ultimately was what led her into that situation. And then they claim the Georgia hospital, you know, committed malpractice in not treating her.
Well, thank you for clarifying with Tim Walz at the very least. You know, I want to play a bite from you from yesterday and get your reaction.
It misleads people. It puts people in circumstances where they panic, where they really, really, really worry. They think they're not being taken care of. And it really is, it's going to sound, use an old phrase, it's un-American. It really is.
So Joe Biden referring to anybody that questions his government's response to a hurricane is un-American. I don't remember that same treatment when George W. Bush was being questioned about Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's you know, this is so devastating. Katrina was devastating. What we're seeing now is just gut-wrenching. But I think that all of us know that there's room to, you know, do after action, or we're mid-action right now, reports on exactly what we're hearing from people on the ground. And that's anecdotal, but there's a lot of it. And so I think questioning your own agency about, okay, what can we be doing better? Where are we missing the mark? I mean, that's something that any commander-in-chief, D or R, should be willing to do when it is about people.
And I'm sure you're going to be talking about this a lot this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I'm a seventh-generation Floridian. My family and friends, I've been, you know, tracking them all night. A lot of these communities, they've been hit by a third or a fourth storm in the past, like, 18 months. And so there's absolute just fatigue and grief and loss down there. And so all my people this morning are awake. They have trees down and no electricity, and their generators, some of them don't seem to be working, but they're alive, and I'm grateful for that. But some of these communities are just, I don't know if it's salvageable at this point after years of taking these hits. So we'll definitely look at the, you know, the federal state response and how things are going.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, we'll be watching on Sunday. And thank you again for that fantastic interview with Tim Walz.
Thanks so much, Mark. And listen, the vice president is welcome to join us anytime.
There you have it. All right. Thank you. Shannon Bream, we'll be right back.
We got the boat here. And Lieutenant Dan here. How'd it go? How'd the night go?
It was a little rough till about 11:30. I repositioned the boat, and I was heading into the wind, and I slept like a baby from 12:30 to 5 o'clock this morning. I woke up twice to pee. That was it. But other than that, I mean, it's been a great night. I just smoked half a joint. I'm high. I'm watching all the people run around like crazy because of all the water.
That is the guy I was talking about on the sailboat in Tampa Bay. His name, they've nicknamed him Lieutenant Dan because he's only got one leg.
You know, it makes sense now that he chose to ride out the hurricane on a sailboat now that I hear he was high.
Yeah, he's a character. Anyway, somebody started a GoFundMe page for the dude.
Oh, gosh.
And as of the writing of this story that I'm reading on AOL as of 6 a.m. this morning, they had taken in $33,000 for this gentleman. And his actual, what's his name here?
Lieutenant Dan.
No.
First name Lieutenant, last name Dan.
Joseph Malinowski is his real name. And somebody put up a GoFundMe page for him because all he's got to his name is that boat. And apparently life's been a real struggle for him. And he's very thankful in this video. The Hodge twins posted this video. That's where I found it this morning. And they posted him saying that somebody came along and helped him tie the boat up better and turn the nose to where it was facing the wind. And he claims he slept from 11:30 last night till 5 a.m. this morning, other than two pee breaks, and he was fine.
Well, he's probably smoking something else besides weed if he was able to sleep through a Category 3 hurricane. I feel bad for the guy if he felt like that was his only option, but come on. There are shelters. I'm very thankful
the
you're alive.
Is
you're okay.
It's going to encourage that behavior.
It was stupid. I'm sorry. There are shelters there in the area. Someone would be more than willing to drive you to the shelter to make sure that you didn't have to ride out the hurricane on your sailboat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that...
I have one more comment. I just thought of this. I have to say this. Just like you said, it's going to encourage other people. Well, now they're going to see, okay, well, he survived that. I could do that. I'm going to go basically have my 15 minutes of fame because all the outlets are trying to interview him. And now look how much money they've raised for him.
Yeah, I didn't know they'd nicknamed him Lieutenant Dan. You said you saw it on social media earlier that Lieutenant Dan survived. And my friend, our friend, State Senator Nick Schroer, texted me that a few minutes ago. He's like, he's alive. Look, I just saw this update.
Lieutenant Dan.
I had to
say it like that.
Lieutenant Dan. I had to clip the audio there before he got to the more colorful language that he used to describe the people running around like effing idiots, cleaning up the water and
he
all that
stuff. He doesn't consider himself
an idiot.
The irony that he wants to call other people that. He forgets he just rode out the hurricane on his boat.
He's stoned and he's happy, and that's really all that matters to him. Yeah, that's it. Hey, by the way, yesterday we were talking about we're waiting to get a hold of Griff Jenkins, and the thing about Griff is that, I mean, he's a regular, and the only reason we don't have him on the radio right now is that he is in Swannanoa, North Carolina. And my guess is they're having cell problems up there. I would not be surprised if that's not the reason. But he's been up there covering the recovery efforts up there. So while we're waiting to get to him, I want to get to this other story. I talked about it yesterday. There was this coach guy who went on CBS and he'd written this piece about, remember, about the Palestinians and, you know, woe is me and these poor Palestinians We need to feel bad for them because they're like they live in apartheid is how he described it. And, you know, I credited the journalist there, Tony DeCoppo with CBS, for actually asking him a hard question. And he didn't like it at all. Listen to this.
And I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards and the acclaim, took the cover off the book, the publishing house goes away, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist.
Mm.
And so then I found myself wondering, why does Ta-Nehisi Coates, who I've known for a long time, read his work for a long time, very talented, smart guy, leave out so much? Mm. Why leave out that Israel is surrounded by countries that want to eliminate it? Why leave out that Israel deals with terror groups that want to eliminate it?
Mm.
Why not detail anything of the first and the second intifada, the cafe bombings, the bus bombings, the little kids blown to bits? And is it because you just don't believe that Israel in any condition has a right to exist?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't like that questioning at all. And apparently a bunch of the liberals at CBS didn't like it. And his bosses called him out for daring to ask those questions. Tony DiCoppola is a Jewish man reading about a book where the guy's completely defending these Hamas terrorists. He doesn't care what they've done to the Jews. All he cares about is that he doesn't think they're treated fairly by the Jews. So you got somebody trying to kill you all the time and you don't treat them fairly. Imagine that. How about the fact that they live in Jewish territory but constantly try to kill the Jews? Are you kidding me? So set that aside for a minute. Sherry Redstone, who runs CBS News, was critical of news management for chewing him out. She thought he did a great job and that it in no way violated any rules or ethics at CBS for him to, as a Jewish man, ask a question based on his experience. The guy wrote a book. He's there to defend it. Ask him the question. Then we find out this Ta-Nehisi guy, Coates, goes on a podcast with Trevor Noah, where he says that he was sad that Gayle King didn't get to ask more questions because she approached him before the interview, told him she'd read the book, and he said, "While I'm not saying she was a fan of the book, she told me what questions she was going to ask me in advance," which is a huge violation of journalistic rules. You never give them the questions in advance. And Gayle King's not in any trouble for that.
I'm shocked he would even admit that, because you'd think that he wouldn't want to reveal that information, because obviously it's not a good look for Gayle King.
This is his quote. "Gayle came behind stage before we went on, said she had gone through the book, and I'm not saying she agreed with the book, but she was like, 'I'm going to ask you about this, and I'm going to ask you about that,' ahead of time." So she was completely priming him for the question she was going to give him, and he didn't like it at all that Tony DiCoppola called him to the mat for his crappy book, because that's what it is. It completely ignores the October 7th attack, and this guy said he didn't care what the Palestinians or Hamas did to Israel. Whatever they did, they deserved, is basically his take in this book. And, you know, it's just one more nail in the coffin of journalism at CBS News, as far as I'm concerned. And Nora O'Donnell went a long way, and Margaret Brennan, toward proving that again during that debate.
Then 60 Minutes, where they edited the video clips that they released.
Yes, it's a great point. It's a great point. All right, I guess we're not going to get a hold of Griff this morning. He must be having cell problems up there in the recovery area in North Carolina. But we'll definitely get him back on soon. Next hour, we'll be done. Next segment.
Next hour, we can be on Facebook.
We're going to get, in a few hours anyway. We're going to get to my friend Tom Shaw. He's doing something out in Defiance this weekend to support and find a cure for Alzheimer's. We're going to be back in a minute. Well, Kim, you and I both live in St. Charles County now, and I have a question for you. Did you notice back around election time in the spring for school board and then for the primary in August, all of the election signs that popped up?
There were a lot
of them. I'll bet you my next guest helped put a lot of them up, because he's one of the hardest working guys I know when it comes to electioneering. That's Tom Shaw. I've got him on the phone with me this morning. Tommy, how are you?
Can you hear me, Mark?
I can hear you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, you know, I want the list of the audience to know right off the bat, you did not give me the questions in advance. Just no softball questions. I can handle it.
Tom, I gave you the questions, though. You and I talked.
Well, in my right ear, through my earring. I'm just kidding, guys.
Get a pair like Kamala wore for the debate. That's right, those earrings.
They didn't work. But, guys, we have a walk to help support Alzheimer's in Defiance Sunday at 8 o'clock, 8:30, you come out. It's only $30 to walk, and all the money goes to care and support research for Alzheimer's. Our father had Alzheimer's. This is the way our family and this foundation can help give back to support for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But this walk's going to be patriotic. Bring your family out, bring your dog, walk, and then get a pizza and a cold beer at Good News Brewery afterwards.
Sounds great. Just to tell people, they can go to TomShawFoundation.org, and it says on here it's $25 if you pre-register, $30 if you show up out there. The walk starts at 9:30 on Sunday, October 13th.
Right.
And that's right in downtown Defiance down there, right? Right where the big curve is in the road?
It is. It's right across the street from our good friend Joe Brazel's house.
Yes.
Our councilman, who will be speaking. Hey, real quick, though, we're not doing any more pre-signings. You can donate through that, and it's $30 to show up Sunday morning. We'll get you registered. It's going to be a fun time. We'll have music, flags, and what we're trying to do is make this very patriotic, making an event where, you guys going out to Tom Shaw's Foundation walk again, not just to raise a few bucks, but make a lot of awareness.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's going to be beautiful on Sunday as well. High of 80 degrees, and probably still be a little cool when you get out there at 9:30 Sunday morning. But that's great. And Tom, maybe you talk about that for a minute. I mean, I've had a family member who's suffered through Alzheimer's. You know what it's like to go through that.
Yes.
Anything we can do to try to help?
It's not an easy. To see a loved one, a family member, friend, whatever, it's heart-wrenching to see what they go through. We have some great folks out here in St. Charles County raising money for the support and research of it. They're making a lot of good strides.
Yeah. Well, I hope people show up again. It's this coming Sunday at 9. It starts at 9:30, the walk, and you get there before that, sometime after 8, and you can register. And thanks for the effort on behalf of your dad and on behalf of everybody that suffers from Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and we'll have coffee and donuts out there early, and then you can get a pizza when the walk's over.
Outstanding. Tom?
I want to make sure everybody on the committee.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead. Yeah, we'll see everybody Sunday to show up and try to walk. It's about a mile to 2 mile walk. It'll be fun.
Not bad at all. All right. Tom, great having you on, my friend. Good luck with it.
No. Thank you, sir. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Tom Shaw there is going to be helping out with that in honor of his father. I think it's a fantastic – I mean, it'll be a great day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'll be surrounded by patriots out there in Defiance.
And he mentioned Good News Brewery. If you've never been there, they have fantastic pizza, great beer. Two locations, actually. One out in the kind of near Old St. Charles, and other one is – obviously in Defiance.
I've been down there. I know exactly where it is. All right. Well, hopefully you can make it out for that. If not, looks like some great weather for the weekend. Now, I got the next couple of days off, Friday and Monday. Kim's going to be sitting over here in this chair. Hopefully we'll be back on Facebook. In honor of me not being here, Facebook is going to allow us to stream the show live tomorrow morning, we believe.
I'm going to do my best to not get us kicked off again before you get back. No promises.
We will still be on Rumble. I promise you that. And we're going to stay on X. So you got lots of options there. The Odyssey app, the radio, which is fantastic. Hey, by the way, go print off the voter guide. Read it, learn it, love it. And it'll help you when you face all those issues that are going to be on the Missouri ballot this year. All right. I'll tell you, have a great weekend. I'll see you back next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.